So, welcome to the Three Pillars of D&D cast. I'm Jesse.
Emma!
Goodbye.
Alright. And today we're going to be discussing the Draconic Options and the new Unearthed Arcana presented by Wizards of the Coast just recently. So, we're going to do that. So,
let's get started!
Bye-bye.
Alright, so we're going to start with the Chromatic Dragonborn.
Hi, that's me. Chromatic Dragonborns claim the raw elemental power of the Chromatic Dragons. The vibrant colors of the Chromatics, black, blue, green, red, and white, gleam in their scaled skin and the deadly energy of breathed weapons. Theirs is the raw elemental fury of the volcano, of biting arctic winds, of raging lightning storms. There's also the subtle whisper of swamp and forest, corrosive and toxic.
This is kind of off topic, but the colors of the Krag dragons, aren't those the colors of Ultron? I'm getting confused.
No, there should be a yellow in there for Voltron.
Yeah, white is supposed to be replaced. If white was replaced with yellow, we would have Voltron.
Also, same with Power Rangers? No, Power Rangers was black, blue, red, yellow,
pink.
Pink.
That's what it was. There was always a pink one.
Yeah, because green and white came later. At least in the very first Dragon Power Rangers.
The very first Dragonborn.
The very first Power Rangers. All right,
yeah,
so
green was like the last. The white was the last one introduced. Green was the one that came after somebody died.
Well, it depends on the season, but yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyways,
off topic. It only took us, what, 30, 45 seconds to get off topic?
This is definitely going to bloopers.
I was probably going to stay in.
Too much about Power Rangers and Ultron. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Do you say Ultron?
You said Ultron. I said Ultron.
I said Voltron.
You said Ultron at first, and then I got confused. It's Voltron.
It's Voltron, yeah.
You said Ultron. We're going to figure that out.
Anyways, so
I'm right.
What are the traits of this Voltron-inspired dragon?
So you have the following racial traits. You are a humanoid. You are a medium size. Your walking speed is 30 feet. And you trace your ancestry to a chromatic dragon, granting you a special magical affinity. Choose one of the dragon form from the chromatic ancestry table. This determines the damage check for your other traits as shown in the table. So your chromatic ancestries can be black, which is acid, blue, which is lightning, green, which is poison, red, which is fire, and white, which is cold. You have a breath weapon. I think I already know what the breath weapon is. Do you want me to go over it?
No, because it's different than the one from the player's handbook. So, yeah, you want to read it.
Okay. So you also have a breath weapon. When you take the attack action, you can replace one of your acts with an exhalation of magical energy in the 30-foot line that is 3 feet wide. Each creature in the area must make a dexterity saving throw against DC equal to 8 plus your constitution modifier plus your proficiency bonus. A creature takes 2d8 damage for the type associated with your chromatic ancestry on a failed save, and half as much damage on a successful save. This damage increases by 1d8 when you reach 5th level, which is 3d8, 11th level, which is 4d8, and 17th level, which is 5d8. You can use this trait a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all affinity uses when you finish a long rest.
So the damage went from a 2d6 to a 2d8.
There's still a saving throw.
Saving throw is the same.
Yep.
But, so the damage increased. You have the sheet real quick, so look. How many times you can use a proficiency bonus when you get it back after a long rest or a short or long rest?
No, use it once.
Long rest.
So the original breath weapon in the player's handbook, you get back after a short or a long rest. And the new version is you get to use it equally a proficiency bonus, but it only comes back after you finish a long rest. So depending on what kind of campaign you use, that's going to be, for most people, that's going to be more uses per day. But if you're a campaign that tends to do lots of short rests...
Like you have an annoying warlock.
Yeah. Those. You might have actually wanted to have more of those.
Look at those honkies.
Plus, the original breath weapon in the player's handbook took up your full action. Mm-hmm. This takes up just one of your attack actions. So if you have multiple attacks, you have like the extra attack feature, mm-hmm. you only use up one of your attacks to use your breath weapon. So it makes it more a part of a combo. Like if you're...
Slice, exhale,
then use your secondary weapon as a bonus action, say if you're a ranger, right? Mm-hmm. And that makes for a nice combo. Or if you're a monk, you can breathe fire, then, hit someone in the face twice with the bonus action, right? Mm-hmm. So, I'm not 100% on that one, but I would allow it, I think, if I was playing. So that's a big difference. It really powered up the breath weapon. It scales better as you level up. And I just, I think it's a lot better this way.
Oh.
Yeah, overall. And it feels more like you can do it more at times a day, especially as you level up. It just feels more fun. All right, so let's go with the last two powers.
You also have a draconic resistance. You have resistance to the damage type associated to your chromatic ancestry.
Yeah.
And normal. You also have chromatic warding. Starting at third level, as an action, you can channel your draconic energies to protect yourself. For 10 minutes, you become immune to the damage type associated with your chromatic ancestry. Once you use this trait, you cannot do so until you finish a long rest.
10 minutes is a long time. And I can see where this would be good at either in a really big fight against just the right kind of enemy.
Yeah.
Or a really good trap. Like, if you have, like, a room that's full of, like, electricity zapping all around, and you happen to be a blue dragon, mm-hmm. you can just walk right in.
Or you can just, like, mess up your dad, just like, ha-ha, your breath can't hurt me.
Yeah, hurt there's that, dad. Too. Yeah, I mean, it makes patricide a lot more, a lot more fun. So, overall, it just made the Dragonborn better. It made it more in line with the other ones. Of course, just like everything else after Tasha's, you could, put your stats wherever you want to, but that's going to be true for everything.
That's
so.
An amazing change. I love that.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite change. I use that change a lot, actually.
So,
I don't always change it, but I do a good chunk of the time.
Yeah, I don't always change it, but I like having the option. Alright, so the next one we'll go to is the metallic Dragonborn. Dragonborn with the metallic ancestry lay claim to the unflinching tenacity of the metallic dragons. Brass, bronze, copper, gold, and silver, whose hues glint in their scales. Theirs is the fire of hearth and forge, the cold of high mountain air, the spark of inspiration, and the scouring touch of acid that cleanses and purifies. So, you have the following racial traits. You are humanoid, you are medium, and walking speed of 30. That's actually going to be true for all of the Dragonborn. So, you choose your metallic ancestry, brass and gold for fire, bronze for lightning, copper for acid, and silver for cold. So you're basically not getting a poison option when it comes to metallic.
Oh no, like you get so much poison in it.
it's just one of the unique characteristics. Theirs is a 15-foot cone as opposed to a 30-foot by 5-foot line. I kind of like that they
made a difference.
They always had the differences. If you go with the original one, it just wasn't always the same. It was really weird, and it really depended on what kind of dragon you were, and it was hard to keep track of. We all know now we can just go metallic ones do cone, chromatic do line. So
and I think that's know easier. What the other one does yet.
It does the same damage. The breath weapon works the same way. The draconic resistance is the exact same. So the big difference here is going to be the metallic breath weapon. At third level, you gain the second breath weapon. When you take the attack action, you can replace one of your attacks with an exhalation of magical gas in a 15-foot cone. So just like the other breath weapon, you can do that. When you use the ability, you choose one. Each creature in the area must succeed on a strength saving throw or be pushed 20 feet away from you and be knocked prone, or each creature in the area must succeed on a constitution saving throw or become incapacitated until the start of your next turn. And note that you can choose this when you use the ability, not like when you make the character. So flexibility is kind of nice. You can only use it once for a long rest. So it's a nice thing. I mean, pushing on a creature 20 feet and being knocked prone is pretty good. And that, you know, the incapacitated is nice. So there you go. I like the metallic one. I mean, I like all these dragonborns, really.
Chromatic!
But,
I don't even know what the next one is. But, like, whoop!
So, the gem dragons have actually, been kind of, like...
Left out?
Yeah, left out of the dragonborn for some reason. They haven't really played much of a role in 5th edition overall, even.
No, they had that sapphire dragon... Yeah. Thing you could buy on D&D Beyond. It was kind of a specialty thing.
And I think that's it, though.
Yeah. So, it's kind of nice. It obviously hints that maybe we're going to see some, you know, gem dragon stat blocks for adult and baby and ancient dragons.
Which I'm really glad for, because I think they're the most interesting dragon concepts.
Gems.
Yeah, I mean, there's still the other oddball dragon types. But I'm sure we'll get them eventually.
One day. They seem cool.
Yeah.
And but what's about the dragonborn?
Anyways, yeah, the gem dragonborns, like, they're, you know, they're humanoid beyond 30 feet speed, like the other ones, based off gem. So, Amethyst is force damage, which is...
one of the least resisted things.
Crystal is radiance.
Very not resisted as much, but they exist.
Emerald is psychic, which is kind of common. Resist.
Not really. I mean, you can get Roger Barbarian at least.
Yeah. Sapphire is thunder, which, you know. Topaz and Crud. These are all, I don't think any of these are any other dragon types.
No.
Wrong,
thunder wasn't
too bad. No, lightning is, but thunder is not. So, this is where you're going to get the different damage types that you don't get in the other two, which is one of the best parts about the gem dragons.
Yeah. Yeah, this one is a 15-foot cone, Dexterity saving throw. Is this like the other?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like the...
The metallics.
Yeah, just like the metallics. Dragon resistance... And psionic mind, you can telepathically speak to any creature you see within 30 feet of you. You don't need to share a language with a creature, but a creature must be able to understand at least one language. Your communication doesn't give the creature your ability to respond to you telepathically.
Yeah, see, that's just fun, because you can just mess with people.
Oh, yeah.
And
this also means that you can ask, you could be basically... You have infinite languages as long as you're okay with being restrained to yes or no questions.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could say nod your head up and down for yes or back and forth for no, and anyone can pretty much understand. You can have a conversation that's one-sided, but, you know, what do you do?
Most conversations are.
True enough.
Especially when you're talking to Emma.
I was going to say, especially when you're talking to a man, but sure.
I like his better.
Yes, because it doesn't include you.
You don't know her.
Damn.
You don't know me.
I live with her.
You don't know what I do in the middle of the night when you're asleep.
Either way.
And then they also have gem flight. So, starting at... At third level, you can use your bonus action to temporarily summon an array of spectral gems that match your gem ancestry in the shape of wings that last for 1 minute. For duration, you gain flying speed equal to your walking speed and can hover. Once you use this trait, you can't do it again until you finish a long rest. This is amazing.
This is so cool!
Yeah, I like that it's a bonus action, especially. I mean, it just... If you need to activate it in the middle of combat, I don't like that.
Talk about how, you know, dragon lords, like, giant wings that throw on their back, and they're able to fly around, and you're like, yes, it's very cool that it's a bonus action.
Sorry, I take the action economy very seriously.
Dork.
I'm an action economist, I can't help it.
Did you just say that?
Yes, I did. Alright. So then also on top of that, we got a revamp of the kobolds.
The best race in D&D.
I love the kobolds. Yeah, I think it's really fun.
I'm actually kind of sad that they're probably going to replace kobolds with this, but I really like the original kobolds. It has some big downsides, but it also has some really good upsides.
Yeah, I mean, I think having the option to be either one gives you some good options to play kobolds. This is obviously, I think this one comes off as obviously a more heroic kobold.
Well, how's this? I think this is just a more draconic kobold. I don't see any more heroic.
Well, because it doesn't have the grovel and the cower ability. True. And stuff like that. Like, as the other one, you can be a hero, but you sometimes resort to acting the coward in order to get what you want, right?
I still think this comes off more draconic-ish, and you calling it the more heroic one is a little bit of a stretch to me.
Well, I mean, I suppose, you know, it depends on your perspective, I suppose. But I like it. So, unlike the Dragonborn, it's small, still walking speed 30, still humanoid.
Dark vision, 60 feet.
Yeah, it has dark vision. The Draconic Legacy, so you get to choose one of these, and it's fun that you get to choose one. You have advantage on saving throw to avoid or end the frightened condition on yourself. Okay. So this is the more heroic option. You know, one cantrip of your choice from the sorcerer spell list. You can use intelligence, wisdom, or charisma as your spellcast ability for that cantrip. Just like in the Fey Wild lineage UA. I like to, you know, how you can choose which one works best with your character. This gives you the more magically inclined kobolds, which I like.
Yeah, like a spell scale.
Yeah. And then you can make an unarmed strike with your tail. When you hit with it, the strike deals 1d6 plus your strength modifier bludgeoning damage instead of the bludgeoning damage normal for an unarmed strike. I don't tend to make characters that would utilize this. I'm more likely to make an NPC who would use this, because I don't like to play characters who rely on strength. it's just not really my style. But it's good for people who like strength-based builds, you know? Because you never know when you're going to be unarmed. So being able to do a D6 plus your strength mod is better than just, you know, one plus your strength mod.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something.
It's an additional average of 2.5 damage.
Exactly. Do you want to do the Draconic Roar?
Okay.
Fair enough.
As a bonus action, let out Draconic Roar your enemies, then 10 feet of you. Until the end of your next turn, you and your allies have advantage on attack rolls against any of those enemies who can hear the roar. You can use this trait number of times equal to your proficiency bonus. Gain all expected uses when you finish a long rest.
Yeah, so once again, I like that they scaled it with the proficiency bonus.
And that's
awful. It's only within 10 feet, so... It's only going to be really useful if you're kind of a melee fighter or up in the heat of it. Or if you're the wizard, I suppose, and you just happen to get stuck in the middle of the fight somehow. But there you go. I don't know. I just like this overall. They're probably... these are all very combat-heavy abilities. Almost all of these. Which... there's not as much expansion into social interaction and exploration as I'd like. I mean, the Chromatic's ability to resist the damage type, I presented one exploration option when that comes in. But there's just not too much there. The social interaction ability of the Gem Dragons with the telepathy is good.
Yeah.
I do like that.
No, I actually love taking characters with telepathy. The trait, so you don't get yelled at by the DM when I'm like, my metagame and tell my, like, yes, my character can tell the other person that because, you know, they have telepathy.
So what we're saying is if you're bossy like Tyler, you should take races that give you the telepathy abilities that your DM won't yell at you.
You're gonna be mean. Please be inaccurate so I can dispute it.
You're not bossy?
No, I am bossy. I'm telling you, if you're going to be mean, be inaccurate so I can dispute it, damn it. Be inaccurate!
No!
No!
Next, we'll go over some of the feats that you get from Attack Dragons, and then after that, we'll do some of the spells. So, see you in the break!
Welcome to Realms of Peril and Glory, an all-new actual play podcast.
There are guided tours once a week! Come on, Darbrennan!
How about you, you filthy timepiece?
RPG is home to hilarious stories.
The thing that kicks off a really good tale is...
when they take their tops off.
Sorry?
When you're reading, like... Don't worry.
And thrilling adventures.
There's bad guys, there's an ogre. Probably best if you stay here. Sorry, I'll be back soon.
Why am I tied up?
That was your sibling, not me. Bye.
Each season is an all-new actual play story told collaboratively at the table. Featuring guest players from the Magnus Archives.
I remember being in the water, and that was awful. And now I'm not in the water, and that's... much better.
Wooden overcoats.
I am a snowman. I have one job, and that is to stand in place. I was doing that very well.
Yes, and she might come back 9 times more powerful with lots of food and kippers.
We fix space junk.
On the surface, you might look different, but you're very, very similar inside. And I can vouch for that.
And more.
What I am about to tell you stays in this room. Got it?
Don't happen know where there's like secret plans about meat and smoothies.
Ducks! Did you say ducks? Did you say ducks? Did you say duck?
You can find Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're gonna have a good laugh, then we're gonna possibly cry, and then we'll grab dinner.
Alrighty.
Hi!
So welcome to the sellout break. Yes. Alright, either way, so if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can get us on our Gmail. It's OurDorkyFamily@gmail.com. You can get us on Twitter at OurDorky, Instagram at OurDorkyFamily. Yeah, hit us up, ask us questions. You got ideas for the show? You disagree with us on things? Just want to, chat? Any of that.
Want to comment on how cute our cats are?
Yeah, cats are awesome.
Look at this babe. You guys can see the babe.
All right. Well, that's the break.
Bye.
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 All right. Since you did Chromatic Dragons, you can go ahead and do the gift of the Chromatic Dragon. So they added some new feats, which I think is great. The best part about these is the way they're currently done, they kind of make it sound like you don't have to be a kobold or a dragonborn to get these feats. You just have to have some kind of heavy interaction with dragons, a gift from a dragon, or have draconic bloodline of some sort.
So basically, they're not racial feats.
They're not racial feats, yeah. They're just feats. And I like that.
I like extra feats.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's why you like playing centaurs.
Also, something to bring up. Imagine playing a gem dragonborn, being a draconic bloodline sorcerer, and taking the metallic dragon bloodline, and having gift of the chromatic dragon.
There you go. You would be the Heinz 57 of dragonborn.
Gift of the chromatic dragon. You've manifested the power of some chromatic dragon, granting you the following benefits. As a bonus action, you can touch a simple or martial weapon and infuse it with one of the following damage types. Acid, cold, fire, lightning, or poison. For the next minute, the weapon deals an extra 1d4 damage to the chosen type when it hits. After you use this ability, you cannot do so again until you finish a long rest.
This is basically the elemental weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is awesome. I don't know, it's one of my favorite abilities from you know, action RPGs from the 90s on the Super Nintendo. It's just what all of them did, and it just feels right.
When you take acid, cold, fire, lightning, or poison damage, you can use that reaction to give yourself resistance to the instant of damage. When you use this reaction a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all extended uses when you finish a long rest.
Yeah, the best part about this chromatic dragon ability is that you don't have to choose a type when you pick it.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised if they changed it to that in some future version of this or whatever. But as of now, you can, especially that resistance ability, using a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus is nice. I mean, that's some... I mean, half damage on some of the biggest attacks you happen to get if they happen to be elemental of some sort.
Isn't that rogue ability somewhat like that?
Oh, that's the dodge ability.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, it's basically dodge, but limited. You can only do it a limited time. It's only for acid, cold, fire, lightning, or poison.
Oh, yeah, no, I know what you're talking about now. It's, it's uncanny dodge.
Yeah, uncanny dodge.
That's what it is, yeah. There's one of them. But yeah, I just like that you can choose it up. That way, if you're fighting something that, you know, especially early levels, I mean, granted, unless you weren't in a campaign where they get you a free feed at the beginning, you're probably not getting this to level 4. An extra d4 damage isn't a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't have to think about it. It's not concentration. It's just a bonus action. A bonus action to increase all your damage by a d4 is nice. You know, if you think about it, level 5 as a fighter, you get 2 attacks.
Oh, yeah.
You have your action surge. Use a bonus action to trigger this, and then you're going to do an extra, 2d4 44 damage? Or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not worse thing. At level 5, you know. So it gives it the metallic dragon. You have the powers of a metallic dragon. Yay. You learned the cure wound spell. You can cast the spell without expending the spell slot. Once you cast the spell in this way, you can't do so again until you finish a long rest. You can also cast the spell using the spell slots you have. The spell caster's ability is intelligence, wisdom, or charisma. You choose it when you get the feat. Then you can manifest... Also, you can manifest protective wings that can shield you or others from attacks. When you or another creature you can see within 5 feet of you is hit by an attack roll, you can use your reaction to manifest spectral wings from your back for a moment. Roll a d4 and grant a bonus to the target's AC equal to the number rolled against the attack roll, potentially causing it to miss. You can use this reaction a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest.
And then finally, for the gem dragon, the best type of dragon. So, creature wisdom, intelligence, wisdom, or charisma, score by 1, maximum of 20. When you take damage from a creature that's within 10 feet, you can use your reaction to emanate telekinetic energy. The creature is dealt damage to you must succeed on a strength saving throw. DC equals 8 plus proficiency bonus, plus the ability modifier of the score increased by this feat, or take 2d8 force damage and be pushed 10 feet away from you. Use this reaction number times your proficiency bonus. You gain unexpected uses when you finish a long rest.
Okay, so when they get to the Metallic Dragon, there's the Cure Wounds ability. I don't think it's that impressive. I don't find it the most impressive thing. So I don't think it's worth taking a feat for. And I just think this D4 bonus to a target's AC, you get to use it a few times. So it's like kind of giving your friends a shield spell in a way. Mm-hmm. I just kind of wish it was a flat bonus so you knew what you were giving your mm-hmm. your friends.
Because when it varies and it has a possibility, you know, if it's a flat bonus, you know whether, you know, at least you have a better perspective of the work or not.
Yeah, I mean, or even if they did it like they do some of the other abilities where if it doesn't actually, you know, help them not get hit, then you don't use your use of it or something like that. I don't know, something like that. But I think it's kind of weak. The metallic ones. The chromatic one's better, in my opinion. It's not the most powerful feat, but at least it feels more fun to me. It has better flavor. The Gift of the Gem Dragon, I love that one. I mean, you know how I like an ability stat increase. And on top of that, you get to do a cool force push, basically.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's just like, since you use it as a reaction instead of a bonus action like you do a lot of the other telekinetic abilities, you can stack this on top of other ones, or so you can use your reaction and your bonus action to push people around, or, you know, it's just fun. I don't know, I like it, so. I like the Gift of the Gem Dragon quite a bit. What about you?
It's okay. Is it like my top priority for feet? No, there's so many better ones, but it's not like bad.
Yeah.
It's not like Chef.
Chef is a good feat.
I know. It's a joke.
Bad one.
Like Chef.
It's a good feat.
Anyway.
I will let Blizzard lick your ear.
That's just me.
What exactly?
All right. They also added 7 more spells. The big takeaway from these is that they use characters from Dragonlance. They reference in the names, so they're really dropping a lot of hints that there's going to be some kind of Dragonlance book coming out later this year. Whether it's the adventure that's coming out in the summer or a whole campaign setting in the fall. We don't really know, but
I think it's going to be a whole campaign setting, personally.
I think so,
like
too.
Like Ravenloft.
Campaign.
I think it'll be a campaign setting.
We got a campaign for the campaign.
But you never know. I mean, heck, they might go as far as doing, like, an adventure and a campaign. But
adventure campaign.
adventure campaign.
What a campaign is.
But I figured, I don't really want to go through all of the spells, necessarily. Is there any particular ones that you liked?
I'm going to start with one I loved and wanted to cover so badly. Flame Stride.
All right, so this is a 3rd level transmutation spell.
So as a bonus action, you can only target yourself of duration and concentration for a minute. The billowing flames of the dragon cover your feet, granting you explosive speed. For duration, your speed increases by 20 feet, and moving doesn't provoke opportunity attacks. When you move within 5 feet of a creature or object isn't being worn or carried, it takes 1d6 fire damage from your trail of heat. A creature or object can take this damage only once a turn. And then whenever you cast a spell using spell slot of 4th level or higher, increase your speed by 5 feet on free spell slot above 3rd. Additionally, spell deals an additional 1d6 fire damage for each slot level above 3rd.
Okay, so it scales up with spell usage with higher levels. So with like Warlock, this would be always like when you get the higher levels, it would always be level 5.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 30 feet of movement and 3d6 damage, which is pretty good.
I love this spell. It's a big speed increase. It's not like freaking long strider. Yes, 10 feet will do much. Ooh.
Well, I mean, 10 feet was better than nothing, but this one's definitely really good.
Especially if you combine it with the best spell in the game, Glyph of Warding, anyone can increase their speed.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot you can do with it. I mean, Glyph of Warding is its own thing. But this is a really good, I mean, it's a really powerful spell. I mean, it's a third level spell, right? Yeah. So, I mean, you're not getting this until, what, level 5 is full caster? Mm-hmm. And then, who gets to use this one? It's Artificer, Ranger, Sorcerer, Wizard. Okay, so not Warlock. My bad. But
anything but Warlock.
Artificer, Warlock. Ranger, Sorcerer, Wizard. Actually, I didn't realize that there were spells for Rangers on here. Huh. I mean, and Artificer. That's pretty cool.
They're Druid, though.
But, I mean...
Oh, sure. They have Druid. No Cleric, I meant. No Cleric or Warlock.
Yeah, there's no Divine. Yeah, no Cleric or Warlock. Now, Warlock does get one. It's the Psychic Lance, actually. But the Flame Stride, I like it. You know, you could definitely see an Artificer using that.
I have two I like.
Really? So which two do you like?
I've seen Death's Frost. Its casting time is one action. Its range is a 15-foot cone. Its components... is a vial of melt water, and its duration is instantaneous. A burst of icy cold energy emits from you in a 30-foot cone. Each creature in the area must make a constitution saving throw. On a failed save, the creature takes 3d8 cold damage and is covered in ice for 1 minute, or until a creature uses its action to break the ice off itself or another creature. A creature covered in ice has its speed reduced to 0. On a successful save, a creature takes half as much damage with no additional effects.
And then at higher levels, you can increase the cold damage for...
Yeah. 1d8 for each spell slot level.
This is the best way to stop someone using Flame Stride, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, the zero speed thing is great. It's nice to be able to stop really, really fast opponents on the battlefield. And especially if you use this on someone who's flying, who doesn't have hover. And they'll probably break the ice on themselves by landing, but still, pretty fun.
It's not for a minute. It's like, hey, or what's the range?
Down.
Oh, it's 15-foot cone. Oh, darn.
Yeah, so it's you're going to get someone really far away from you. Mm-hmm. But,
You could, like, missy step to someone, like, freeze them in midair, and then you can step back.
You could also... If you have a familiar, your familiars can cast self spells. So you put your familiar real close to somebody, and you're gonna cause some problems. Mm. See, this is where familiars start to get better when she started thinking about what they can do with some of these spells. Okay, so what's the other one you really like?
It's the one right under it. Nathar's Mischief. I think I said that name wrong. Whatever.
Nathar's
Mischief. Nathar's Mischief.
I think that's how you say it.
It's Natharion.
Is that evolution?
It's Nathic.
Yes, that's
Nathic.
Does Eevee transform into the Natharion?
Yes. No, it's probably Nathar.
He is a royal old asshole type.
Just like Lizard.
No, it's stinky asshole. Alright.
Oh, are you stinky? She's right behind the camera. She looks sad.
Alright, now there's Mischief.
Its casting time is one action, a second level illusion. Its range is 60 feet. Its component is a piece of crust from apple pie. Its duration is concentration and up to 1 minute. You fill a 20-foot cube centered on a point you choose within range for its fey and draconic magic. Roll the mischievous surge table to determine the magical effect produced. At the start of each of your turns, you can move the cube up 10 feet and re-roll the table.
Actually, a big thing on the components, it doesn't have a focal component.
Exactly.
So that's what really makes it mischievous.
You just use up a piece of apple pie And then it's like...
Yeah, you just probably make it do something or whatever. You do a hand motion or something. So that's kind
of
cool.
So the effects are, there's four, so you have to roll a d4. The smell of apple pie fills the air, and each creature in the cube must success on a wisdom saving throw or become charmed by you until the start of your next turn. The second one is bouquet of flowers appear all around, and each character in the cube must succeed on dexterity saving throw or be blinded until the start of your next turn as the flowers spray water on their faces. The third one is each creature in the cube must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or begin giggling until the start of your next turn. A giggling creature is incapacitated and uses all of its movement to move in a random direction. And number four is drops of molasses appear and hover in the cube, turning it into difficult terrain until the start of your next turn.
I don't know why, but the smell, all I can think of is like a grandma bard.
Honestly, yeah.
But I like that. Actually, I wouldn't use this in combat so much. This would be really great in awkward social situations.
Exactly.
Like, that guy, that stupid bard will not stop hitting on you at the bar.
Here, have these flowers.
Water in their face.
Do you have any spells you like, Dad?
No, not really. Nothing really stood out that much.
I thought you liked this one. When I first read these?
Oh, no, I did like that one, but I've already discussed it. I mean...
Oh, I didn't know you liked it! No, it wasn't.
It wasn't a big deal. Was there another one that I liked, though? Let's see here. I like Fizban's Platinum Shield, of course. But it's a 6-level spell. I don't think I've ever gotten a character... high enough to use 6-level spells.
Okay, well, I guess this is the end of the video, so... Hello!
Yep. Goodbye!
Bye, guys!
See you then.
See you in the next episode.
I'm gonna be the ultimate squirrel. Bye!
You already are.
Darn it. Hello?
Too late.
Did you get yourself injured again?
Hello, copyright, my old friend. Yeah, that's what you call it.
Yep.
Tyler Selleckware.
Yeah, I can see it.
Damn, Ryan stole my ideas.
Hey, that's what you do. You steal the child's abilities, ideas.
Yeah.
And then you claim them as your own, and then you get rich. And then you tell them that, no, they can't have any of it because you're the parent and you know better.
Yep.
And now I can go to Hollywood.
And you step on the aisle of a banana.
Well, yeah. Everyone knows that.
Gift of the Chromatic Dragon. Sorry. Did she just try to lick the air?
No, just... And say that without yelling.
Yeah. Would Pete the Dragon be a Chromatic Dragon?
I don't know.
He is green.
I know, but he could be a metallic one.
Why are you metallic?
Well, because they tend to be the good ones.
He is!
Racist.
Oh!
He be an Emerald Gem Dragon.
He could be.
What are you doing? Are you having a stroke?
I think she's a seance. Are you communing with the spirits of old animated movies?
Oh, kick your ass into the sun.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say old animated dwarves. I was confused.
Oh, Fist of the North Star. Oh, Akira.
Oh, Grumpy the Dwarf.
Disney Snow White.
Was there?
We're gonna get copyrighted. Stop saying that. Cut that out.
You cut that out.
No.
Right, just ignore the cat. She'll probably lick the screen or something. But
Okay, everybody shut up.
All right. She's licking the... licking the sheet.
Is she still licking?
Possibly.
Or she's weird, I don't know. She's a weird cat.
I know which one I believe in.
So, either way, we've been, I lost my train of thought. So,
hello!
Bye!
Alright, so this break was pointless.